KQ. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome to The American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the biggest, the brightest, most courageous entrepreneurs we can find in Orange County, specifically Orange County. And today's show is going to be another one of those days where we get to actually interview somebody who specializes in business. And today's going to be a real treat. So anybody who's looking to get into business or is in business, this is going to be another one of those great shows. You're going to get a lot of information for free, as they say. We'll see how much we can get for free. But our guest today is going to be by the name of the gentleman is Eric Eagland. And I hope I got his name right. He's going to be calling in here in just a second. And it's going to be kind of a cool show. Let me kind of tee this up for everybody. Eric is he's a business consultant and from Capacity Business Consulting. Has provided strategic and management consulting services for multiple industries since 1999, specializes in feasibility studies, marketing strategy, startup funding, and turnarounds, including an ongoing assistance in execution of all those strategies. Also serves for on nonprofits and has a municipal practice area focusing on economic development, including grant work. Now, if that doesn't cover a wide variety, I don't know what does. So we're looking forward to bringing him on the show. And let me see if he's – did we have him there, Dan? Good morning.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Eric, thank you for taking the time and joining us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, listen, I know you have a little bit kind of an idea of what we do here every Tuesday. And it's really about, you know, giving our listeners kind of an idea of what it's like to be, you know, get into business, you know, all the trials and tribulations that go along with it and all those things that we love to deal with each and every day. And I'm sure you can give us little tips and ideas here going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't you do me a favor, give us a little background on yourself and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So my background was originally, a couple decades ago, was actually in insurance, but, what happened, the reason I started the consulting firm was I ended up in boardrooms, and hopefully people can understand this and will have experienced this. I was in boardrooms for major decisions where all the key players, whether they were, you know, CFOs or CEOs or senior vice presidents, and a question would pop up. And my famous example that I use all the time is the CEO came in and said, "Gentlemen, the grass isn't growing fast enough. What are we going to do?" And, the COO would say, "Oh, it needs more fertilizer. Bob, I've been telling you that for weeks." And the CFO would say, "Yeah, I think it needs water." And the chief marketing officer would say, "Goat's milk. That's the latest thing. They use it in France. The grass grows like crazy." Now, this is just a metaphor for hundreds of meetings that I witnessed that went like this. I sat there and went, "Oh my God, is this how we're going to make this decision? Really? Because I have a whole bunch of questions I want to ask." So in my mind, I would say, "Let's do a soil sample and find out what the grass needs to grow." And what would happen is inevitably they would go with whoever had the biggest mouth or the most seniority. And that's how the decision was made. And this is even a publicly traded company, Jim.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I thought so. So, you know, as a young man in my early 20s, I felt like an alien in the room all the time. So I started researching and reading books, and I found this whole vocation called management consulting. And it's McKinsey and Boston Consulting Group and KPMG. You may have heard of all these larger companies.
Yes, just a few.
And I went, wow, you know, every major company and major government in the world hires these guys. And what we do is we bring research and objectivity. That's really the two key words to everything that we do. We cut through people's opinions, and we cut through fears, and we cut through entrepreneurial goggles, right? Where, you know, everything's going to be great because I'm an entrepreneur, I have a great idea, everything's going to work out because I just have lots of energy and I'm awesome.
Of course, that's what gets us up every day, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what gets you through the, that passion is what gets you through the rough times, but I always joke and say you need some meat to go with those potatoes, and that meat is that research and objectivity that keeps you from getting in trouble.
Without question, you know, and you know that's half the battle. Actually, I don't think it's three quarters of the battle for all business people out there. Like you said, you're going back to it. Yeah, it's a great idea, but is it really going to work? Is it actually going to do everything it's supposed to do? And doing the work up front is basically what you're saying, as opposed to finding out in the end.
You got it, because if you learn through experimenting, don't get me wrong, it's part of the entrepreneurial cowboy culture. It's fun, right? You know, it's the
it
whole
can
point.
Be.
I'm just going to go blast through this like a bull in a china closet, and I'll learn as I go, and I don't have to stop and do my homework, because that's no fun.
Right.
So it's part of the fun, don't get me wrong, but if you really want to make it, you know, if your goal is to go have fun, that's great. But if you want to be successful and you want to make money, then don't do it the experiment way, because that costs a ton of money and a ton of time, where you can just do it up front, like you said.
Yep. And listen, I mean, the trial and error is all part of, like you said, the entrepreneurial spirit. But the problem with that is it's a lot of times it comes with real pain. And I mean pain in the form of financial pain and emotional pain, et cetera, et cetera. So if we tell a lot when we have a lot of entrepreneurs and we deal with them on a daily basis, it makes so much sense. Listen, do the hard work up front, write it all out, beat yourself up, ask every question conceivably that you could think about, and then and get somebody else to be objective, look at it. And this is basically what you're talking about here, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's even hard for, like, a lot of people ask me, what's the difference between a business plan and a feasibility study?
That's a good question, yeah.
Really, they're the same layout. They ask the same questions. But a business plan is typically just the entrepreneur or maybe another, you know, third-party business that's just kind of answering the questions that are asked off the top of their head. A feasibility study digs in and researches, you know. So whereas in a business plan, that an entrepreneur might just get the template online, right, and fill it in, and it says, who's your competition? And they would just list competitors,
right,
that are in their backyard. A feasibility study looks at competition completely differently. A feasibility study goes out and finds competitors that are exactly like that person. Not necessarily it's going to beat them next door or on the block over, but competitors that are doing a better job so that we can learn from them. And then find other ones that have made mistakes so we can learn from them. So it's really, it's a completely different mindset and a completely different amount of research.
And, what a great tool to have in your bag. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, like you said, I mean, going back to a business plan, everybody should write one. Not everybody should write one, but, you know, we recommend that you do it. But doing a feasibility study, like you said, really digging into the meat of what you're trying to do and see if it actually has got staying power and scalability, et cetera, et cetera. That's a huge piece. And I think it's funny that more people don't take advantage of that or go down that road.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Some people get it right away and some people don't. Like I said, they either don't get it or they don't want to get it.
Right.
You know, because they want to go have the fun and enjoy it. And that's okay. But if you're serious and you want to make money and your goal is to kind of make it, then, you know, figuring out all your expenses and your income and when you're going to break even and how much money you're going to burn through before you start to make a profit or stop burning money and you actually break even and start making a profit, and figuring out who your competition are and who your suppliers are going to be and how you're going to market and to whom and using what medium, you know, figuring out all that stuff ahead of time, then you just follow the plan.
Right.
And you also need that for funding. So if you know, you're reading Entrepreneur Magazine and you're reading about venture capital and angel investors and you watch Shark Tank religiously, you know, that stuff all exists. And we help entrepreneurs prepare and, you know, sometimes try to find those people. So you can't just walk into a room with a, you know, a ball of passion and tell them, you know, off the top of your head what your product is and how awesome it is. You got to come in with some stuff,
right,
with some real stuff that shows that you you did your homework, and you know when they ask tough questions like when are you going to break even, you can't guess.
Right.
You're going to have some backup for it.
It's true. Actually, listen, hold that thought. This is Jim Mazzetti. As American Dream, we'll be right back after this with our guest, Eric Eaglin from Capacity Business Consultants. See you in a second.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. WTBQ.
Back. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Remember, this is we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best and brightest of Orange County, and most courageous, don't forget that part of it, entrepreneurs we can find, and today is no different. I have Eric Eaglin from Capacity Business Consulting, and just remind everybody, listen, if you have any questions for our guests while we have them on the air, take advantage of this. Give us a call at 651-1110, dial in, give us a ring, and while you have somebody this knowledgeable on the air today with us, you know, who does, you know, what we're saying here, business consulting each and every day for his clients, take advantage of it. I mean, this is not something you get every day, and you got tons of knowledge here, and it's here for today and today only. So join us in. Give us a call again, 651-1110. So, Eric, welcome back. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Thank you so much for joining. I always tell all our guests, we really appreciate your time, because that's the one thing we don't get back. And it's one thing we go up every day, and it's something you just can't buy. So you can't buy time. So thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, no worries.
So listen, do me a favor. So how did you get into, obviously you're in the boardrooms, you work for large corporations, and so how did you end up saying, listen, I'm just going to start my own deal here?
Yeah, I did that classic cowboy entrepreneur thing. So
well thought out, did the plan, all that things?
Yeah, so I'm sitting here, you know, picking on entrepreneurs to a certain extent and saying, you need my firm, right? And my MBAs who do it right. But I made the plan. Was working, you know, I had a job working for a normal company, and I kind of saved up, put the plan together, and just jumped ship one day.
Made the leap.
And you know, got my first client was a small insurance intermediary. The gig had nothing to do with insurance. It was really a turnaround.
Okay.
But because of my insurance pedigree, that's kind of how I got, it was in Manhattan, that's kind of how I got a big one, right? I didn't have to do a business plan for a pizza parlor. It was my first gig.
Wow.
So, yeah, that got me going.
That was the launch right there.
Yeah, and then that lasted, I think, about 6 months, and then I got another large client and started building companies for them for quite some time. And it wasn't until 2012 that I decided, it was just me all that time.
It wasn't until
2012 that I said, you know what, I got to build a firm, kind of build up a firm so it's not just me.
Right.
That's what happened. 2012, opened up an office in Orange County, We now have one in Montgomery. We've got another office, Headquarters Plaza in Morristown, New Jersey.
You've really scaled it up then, obviously.
Yeah, I got a bunch of consultants and people that have expertise in different areas.
And you know, and what was that? What was the realization that, I just can't do this by myself anymore?
You know, it wasn't it was actually great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I worked 4 days a week and made a ton of money, and I had no worries. I had no employees to deal with,
Which is, by the way, can be very nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, but you can't, you can't necessarily retire, or if something happens to you, you get disabled or you get hurt or God knows why, everything stops. You're the hunter.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a very good point. And for especially a lot of business owners on this point is that, there isn't a time that you realize, listen, and I think that came to you and it's also come to me, and yet, it just can't be all about me. I mean, because all it is ends being, you need a business. The definition, I think, as a business is a business that works for me, whether I'm doing it or not.
Exactly. And I mean, that's part of, you were thanking me for my time, and what was going through my mind was, oh, no worries, because I have, I have four people that are cranking right now on various projects, and I can have this conversation with you.
But is that some part of your ability, one of the things you look at, too, when you're sitting down with clients or businesses and saying, listen, what is your end goal here? And sometimes that's not easily defined.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we do an initial interview for somebody who might be interested in our services, and we're kind of like understanding what they need and then making a suggestion to them. At the end of that, I always ask two questions. I say, what is your goal in hiring us? Even though we might have just been talking about that for the last hour.
Right.
And the reason is because when you ask that question, I've talked to a CEO of a company for an hour about whether they should open up a new plant in this city or that city, right? Which city should we open it up in? And at the end of the conversation, I say, what's your goal? And he says, to find my nephew a job. never been brought up in the whole entire hour. To wit, I said, what city does your nephew live in? And he said, City A. And I said, that's where you should open up the plant. No charge. Take it easy. it's interesting. It's hard, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at, to find that end goal. Sometimes they don't. They haven't even really thought about it. They're just off for the adventure.
Right. Well, hey, listen, that is part of the fun, right? I mean, it's the journey, not necessarily destination all the time, that gets us going every day. At the end of the day, though, you've got to be doing this for a reason, unless you truly want to be a nonprofit.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, nonprofits are, you start getting boards involved. Like, we do some municipal stuff, which... it's essentially the same thing. So if we did a strategic marketing plan for a regular for-profit business, we don't do the marketing. We might oversee the execution of it, but it's really the research, if you have a certain amount of money to spend on marketing, what's going to work for you to actually get you an ROI so that you don't get caught up in, spending money on everybody asking you to spend money on advertising and social media and God knows what else. We may discover it's billboards, and that's the only thing that you should spend money on. Don't waste money on all the rest of this stuff. That's what a strategic marketing plan does. We do those for municipalities as well. And very interesting with the municipality, because now you have a board. You have like an economic development board or something.
Right.
And you go to the meeting, and you've got 10 people with three brilliant ideas each. So you go back to my board situation, right? So they're going, oh, our town is dead. Main Street is dead. There's all kinds of empty stores. Everything's falling apart. I know what we'll do. We'll bring in a Golden Corral. And you're like, where'd that come from? And we'll do this and we'll do that. And they just come up with a bazillion ideas. Well, we would come in and say, look, if we do the research to find out what would work the best here the first time, or at least come up with the parameters of what would make sense to economically develop this particular area, then we can filter these 30 ideas and say, no, that one's not going to work, and here's why. That one's not going to work. This one might work. this one's really good. You know, we could rank them.
Okay. So you actually sit, you go do the hard work, or you go down and dig deep here to figure out what actually really has staying power, why it makes sense, as opposed to just, you know, throwing up a billboard.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, everybody's good ideas, we kind of filter them.
Right.
And sometimes they are. Sometimes they're a great idea, but a lot of times they're not. And you said it too. One of the most important things is the research allows you to understand why something is a good idea or a bad idea.
Right.
It's not, you know, myself and my other consultants. If somebody says, what do you think? Our answer is always, I don't know yet.
Interesting.
You know, I can, you know, you want to have a conversation over lunch, I can tell you what I think, my opinion based on what you just told me. But the real answer is, until we dig in, I have no idea.
So what you would recommend, so when you're working with these businesses, I mean, isn't that the key? Basically, it's a non-biased opinion.
Objectivity and research, yeah. That is it. And I joke with people too, and I say, our brand, what we sell is truth. And, you know, whether you like it or not. So I'll give you a perfect example. We had a guy who wanted to open up a restaurant in Connecticut, and he's ready to put up his life savings to open up this restaurant. So he hires us to do the feasibility study, but while we're doing it, he's continuing his love affair with this idea. So he goes and picks a space, and you know, it's all laid out already. It's beautiful. It was a restaurant originally. So he's in, right? He's emotionally completely into this.
Right, he's already sold.
Yeah, and we do the feasibility study, and we come back, and we're like, hey, this is feasible, but the profit margin on this thing is going to be 3-5%. That's it.
Ouch.
Yeah. And your investment to get this thing up and running is dangerously close to your life savings, which means, you know, there's a 20% margin error. It could go over.
Without question.
And
we always
does,
and we always underestimate that. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And right. If it does go over, you don't have that capital. So, you know, it's up to you, but, and he was distraught and upset, but a week later he came in and actually hugged us and thanked us for saving his life savings. And he was going to do something a little bit more reasonable, like a smaller local restaurant instead of this big, huge thing in Connecticut.
You know, listen, larger doesn't mean better. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's the importance of this, especially anybody that's listening out there. You know, it nobody's here to steal your dream or crush your dreams. I mean, that's not what you and I are saying here. What we are saying, though, is if you're really going to go out and make this leap of faith and throw your hat in a ring, as I always say, you know, do yourself a favor, spend the money, the little money, I call it little money, up front, to do the real hard work and get it done, and get it done, you know, without, so you, very hard to see the forest through the trees. So when you hire a business consultant like yourself, and it can take an objective look at things, it's critical. And it, you know, this is the cheap money you're going to spend, because once you're in and you're all in, that's where it gets real quick, real expensive, real quick, and it can be, like you said, it can be really dangerous. I mean, a lot of times, folks, when you make this move, and there's no turning back. And so when a boat leaves the dock, there's no coming back and getting back there.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to really take the time to take the hard look at it. And not only that, but let's look on this one here. You, I'm assuming you sit down with these people, with anybody. You know, you mentioned one thing, really, it's the emotion, right? And we don't want to kill that, but the emotion can hurt you real quick.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to kind of separate yourselves and go, listen, now you're going to be a businessman or a business person, whatever you want to declare yourself. And that takes, you got to take, you know, take a little bit of the emotion out of it. We don't want to crush it, because that passion is what drives us. We get that. But you got to take a real objective look at this on a business scale and go, hey, is this going to create the lifestyle I want for me and my family? Is it actually got sustainability? And third, is this something I can see myself doing for the rest of my life?
Yeah. And listen, we don't take the fun out of it. So I'm not a hunter, but I use an analogy. It's like, listen, if you decide you want to go hunting, which would be fun for you, right? I'm going to go hunting. You could go out in the woods in your jeans and your normal clothes and and like an old gun that your dad left you. And you could sit out there for 4 hours because you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where you're going, and then freeze your butt off because you're not wearing the proper clothing. And then finally the animal or deer comes across and you go to shoot it, but the gun doesn't work because it's old. We're actually going to let you go do the fun thing, which is hunting, but we're going to put you in the proper boots and the proper gear and give you a wonderful gun that works and some deer bait or whatever, you know, makes the deer come and put you in the right spot. So now it's fun. Now you're actually hunting comfortably.
with a solid chance of success.
Right, versus being miserable. So it's like, okay, you know, if that's fun for you to go out in the woods and discover once you're 2 hours into the woods that you're freezing your butt off, rock on.
Have at it.
Yeah, exactly. But why not be prepared and do it and really have fun?
That's right. Well, listen, with that real quick, Eric, we got to take another quick break here. This is Jim Mazzetti with Eric Eaglin from Business Consulting, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
This is Walt Baby Love. I'd like you to join me for Gospel Tracks Sunday on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. That's Gospel Tracks every Sunday at 6 a.m. for praise and worship with yours truly, Walt Baby Love.
WTBQ Weather.
Some areas of fog this morning, then mostly cloudy with a few breaks of sun. It'll warm quickly to 65 this afternoon. Tonight, patchy fog and cool in the low 40s. Look for morning fog, then partly sunny tomorrow with a high warming to the lower 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the upper 40s to around 50. Clouds and some sun on Thursday. There may be a passing shower with a high again around 70. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome to the American Dream. Remember, we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best, the brightest, most courageous entrepreneurs we can find in Orange County. Today is no different. Today is a huge treat for any of our listeners who are out there. You know, you're getting a very good look and insight to what it is to do. If you're thinking about getting a business or in business, you know, this is a real treat for you because this doesn't happen that easily. But I would highly recommend it. We have Eric Eaglin here from Capacity Business Consulting, and they do feasibility studies, they do funding analysis, and how to improve your company. Even if you're actually in this business, I'm getting, Eric, that you actually, even with a company that's all up and running here, you can actually jump in and say, hey, listen, we can actually help you tweak this and tweak that. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We do things all through the cycle, the life cycle of the business. So an entrepreneur with an idea can walk up to us and say, I got an idea, that's it. We can start there, and then we can move to, okay, the idea is feasible, but, you know, I need $1 million to do it. Okay, so now we go into helping them with funding. Then we can actually stay with them and actually help them build the company. So now you've got an entrepreneur that gets a bunch of money to start a business. Well, they have no experience. You know, they don't have a chief financial officer. They don't have an operations person. They don't, you know what I mean? They're just,
yep.
Whoa, what do I do now? Holy cow, I have to build a company. I need all these people. I got to hire people. Just this overwhelming list of to-dos that comes due all at once. We can actually help them build it. And then we can actually, we sell companies too.
So, oh, really?
You know, if they want to sell the company, we can turn around and sell it.
That's huge.
The execution piece, in the middle there too, is if they get in trouble, we can come in and help them get out of trouble. And actually, a lot of times they don't even know why they're in trouble. So we can identify what's causing the pain, like a doctor, and then we can operate on it and fix it.
Very cool. You know, I tell you, there's obviously you're in business for a reason, because we've seen this so many times in my career working with entrepreneurs. So many times they can't figure out why they've done so well and why all of a sudden they're not doing so well. And like I said, it's very difficult to look at your objectively. Sometimes look at your own business that way, and that's what, you know.
If anybody's seen Marcus Lemonis on TV, the name of the show escapes me.
Dang it. Now you got me. Yeah. He's an entrepreneur. He goes in and fixes companies, takes them over. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, aside from the investment, like he usually makes an investment and takes over a certain percentage of ownership. Aside from that, that's what we do. You know, we go in, we identify what's going on and tell you what to do to fix it. And, and for us who do it all the time, it's,
right. You know where to look. You know where to look. You know where the pain points are. Generally, you can get to the answer pretty quickly here. You know, let's talk about that. I mean, so you know, you got a growing company here, and one of the things I hear constantly is problems with trying to get the right workforce, the right labor pool. Do you help with that capacity as well?
Yeah. So interesting. We were talking about that. I'm glad you brought it up. We can help with workforce, but one of the things that we're doing right now that's super interesting is, I don't know if, I'm sure the listeners are aware of the resort casino that is being built in Sullivan County.
Oh, yeah.
So number one, we actually helped, we were hired by the Sullivan County IDA, Industrial Development Agency, and the Partnership for Economic Development to do a study back when all the counties were competing. To compare all the counties from Albany's perspective to see which county would be the best for the casino. So we're told that that was used by the lobbyists and what have you to help Sullivan County win it. I'll never know that because I wasn't behind those closed doors, but we did that study. And recently we just won the bid to do a labor shed workforce study for the Sullivan County Workforce Development Agency.
Interesting. Okay.
And that is essentially, you know, this casino is going to open 2 years from this past January, and they're going to need thousands of workers, and they're paying decent salaries, and they should have decent benefits, and all the local businesses are worried that all their employees are going to get sucked out of their businesses into the casino to work.
That's a good, you know, that's a good part, good thing, because you think about that, because you know that the casino is going to be obviously paying more than the minimum wage.
Well, exactly. So, and in an area like Sullivan County, and you know, parts of Orange County, Ulster County, and northern PA that borders Sullivan County, there's all these small businesses. You know, it's not, you know, people. Somebody who might be worth $30 an hour might be working for $12 an hour because of where they live. You know, they're in the middle of nowhere.
That's true. Very true.
But you get a big, relevant employer like that that pops in, it can seriously damage all the smaller employers. They're going to lose all their employees. So everyone is really concerned about that. And so we're doing a study that will essentially identify where all the workers in Sullivan County come from, and all the people in Sullivan County go to work, to kind of define, you know, okay, how many people in New York City come here to work? How many people here go to New York City to work? And Orange County, and et cetera, et cetera. And then really try to understand why people are underemployed and what we need to do to help the local businesses kind of come up to par.
Right.
Whether it be training or whatever else.
Right. How do they stay relevant?
What's that?
How do you got to help them figure out how to stay relevant and compete and be able to still compete.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's a pretty neat thing. We're partnered with Cindy Newpaltz,
okay,
who has a business school with a call center. Pretty cool. So they're going to be doing the employee surveys. So anybody listening out there, if you get a call from from SUNY Newpaltz asking you about your job and your training and all that, please cooperate. It's to help you.
It's to help everybody, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's probably going to be a whole different show, to say the least. But, it's interesting. You know, these are the things that, you know, all these entrepreneurs, and here's a perfect example, folks. You're in business. You've been in business for, 10, 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden something like this comes in to your area. How do you adapt, right? I mean, because listen, like you said, a lot of small businesses, they're not paying $30, $40, $50 an hour, depending on the company, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it going to impact you? I mean, I think that's one of the neat things about what you do is you look at all the parameters, right, in all different ways in order to stay relevant, stay competitive, and like I said, eventually, hopefully, sell your company for a profit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so what is your typical company? What's your typical client look like?
Oh, man, it is literally so far all over the board.
Really?
You can imagine. And I'll give you the answer and tell you what they all look like, but I want to explain why first, because okay, a lot of people are saying, man, you're all over the board. Like, you guys don't focus on something. Everything that we do focuses around some core methodologies. So, a feasibility study and a strategic marketing plan, the methodology amongst the two is pretty darn similar. The methodology that was used to compare all the different counties to see which one would be best for the casino, that's the same methodology, essentially, with a little bit of difference, that's used in a strategic marketing plan. We basically just looked at the six counties as six competing companies. So the methodology is the same. So you can apply. So when you say, what do? I would say, we do these six methodologies. But these six methodologies have no boundaries. You can do a feasibility study on a kid that walks in and says, I have an iPhone app idea. And you can do a feasibility study on a multi-billion dollar publicly traded company that comes in and says, we want to open up a new plant in Omaha. It's the same methodology. No different. One's obviously bigger than the other one, but the checklist of things that you go through and research is all the same.
Interesting. Yeah.
So we do everything from, we've done a Pilates studio for a mom that wants to open up a Pilates studio above her husband's garage part-time, to we've literally done gigs for billion-dollar publicly traded companies. We've done nonprofits, no different, right?
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, you do for profit or not for profit?
Still
same
business.
Thing,
same business. Right.
And the municipalities, with the exception of, the only difference in all these different businesses, big or small, multiple industries, nonprofit, for-profit, government or private, the only difference really is when there's boards involved. Because then there's politics. That's the only really real difference. You work for a nonprofit, you've got a board that they're working for a nonprofit, so they kind of know what's going on, but some are really in deep and most really don't know what's going on. They kind of show up because maybe it looks good that they're on the board.
Right.
So that
true.
Stuff becomes difficult.
And everybody's got their own agenda, obviously.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's much easier to deal with a single CEO or a single entrepreneur.
Without question. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you say in our business on the financial services side of it, it's the same thing. We so much more prefer the deal with a CEO who's making actually the decision maker as opposed to all the other cronies that go along with it.
Oh, yeah. It's very difficult when you have to do that. More so just keeping expectations aligned amongst a dozen people.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of neat you're saying, but you the neat thing you guys do, though, is you clarify the ideas, right? You clarify the vision and the purpose of what you're doing. And that is not easily done sometimes by yourself, to say the very least. Been there.
That objectivity is huge. I'll tell you how far we go with it and how important it is. If we have one of our MBA research people and they do, let's say, two restaurants in a row and a third one comes in, we don't let them do it, which is
really
counterintuitive, right?
Right.
And it's interesting because, let me finish.
Uh-oh. We still there? We there? We lost him. I don't know. Eric, you still with us? Oh, we just broke you. Well, you know, it's perfect timing because we got to take a break anyway, right, Dan? So this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We'll be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio.
Tune in every Thursday at 12 noon for the latest in legal advice and tips.
We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Dr. Nathan Johnson, your Orange County friendly farming family physician from Crystal Run Healthcare. Join me every Tuesday at noon on Road to Liberty, where you will learn the benefits of being healthy, active, and fit in mind, body, and spirit on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
We're back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the Orange County's best, brightest, most courageous entrepreneurs we can find. Today's been another great interview, quite frankly, with Eric Eaglin from Capacity Business Consulting. Really cool. And if you're out there listening, you're getting a lot of great information out there. And so, Eric, and welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
And thanks for joining us again. I want to just, again, kind of reiterate that point. We really appreciate your time today to being on the air with us. And for all the listeners out there, you know, you're getting a lot of really cool information on, you know, taking a look at your business and actually having somebody else take a look at your business and the importance of that. So and when we left here, before we got disconnected, we were trying to get to a point where we're like, you know, what's your typical client? And I think you made it very clear that it's across the board. But the neat thing that we left off was that you get to the point where even you were talking about a restaurant and you actually had one of your consultants does one restaurant, does another restaurant. And you go, listen, we're not going to let you do this next restaurant. And the reason for that would be why?
Yeah, because they start to answer the questions before they ask them. You know, it's human nature.
True.
And I don't know if this got cut off my rant on some of the larger companies like McKinsey. They will advertise that they're experts in, let's say, the restaurant industry, because that's what people want to hear. You know, people, they don't understand how important that objectivity is. They're like, no, I want to hire somebody that knows my business. That's human nature. So companies like McKinsey will advertise that they're experts in the restaurant industry so that they get that client. But the kids out of Yale that they put on to do the research, they don't know anything about restaurants. You know what I mean? This is the first one that they've done on restaurants. So they do it properly. They just advertise for how people want.
Interesting. Hey, but like, I think that's a very good point that you bring up is that, you know, when you're looking for somebody objectively look at your business, is it necessary that they have experience in that particular area? Like physical experience? Like maybe were they restaurant owners themselves at one point, or are they, you know what I'm saying?
So from an entrepreneur perspective, that's very helpful.
Okay.
And the reason is because there's all those little oddities that, you know, that slip through that aren't part of a feasibility study, like culture, right? So we'll stick with a restaurant. If you have a person that came from a financial industry and they open up a restaurant, they may not be familiar with kind of how loose the waiters and wait staff and maybe the cooks are back in the kitchen when nobody's looking at them. There might be a different culture that a financial guy would be appalled, because he or she is used to employees in a financial business kind of always being on their best behavior, whether there's clients around or not. Probably a terrible example, but you get my drift.
No, I do actually. Yeah. Yep.
A million little things that the experience in that industry for the entrepreneur is super helpful. And investors look for that big time.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause you need, you know, let's talk about the investment side of this. I mean, how do you help companies go out and look for funding?
Yeah. So the very first part is preparing to go out and look for funding. You know, that's the, you can't go walk up to somebody and ask them for money. They're going to say, well, what do you do and why is it going to work and who are you and why are you qualified? There's all that normal stuff. But then they're going to say, well, how much do you want? And, well, how do you know how much you want? You know, there's, you got to figure that out.
Right. You got to drill down.
And how much equity are you going to give me? You're going to give me 10% of the company? You're going to give me 60% of the company? You can't make up a number. It has to be based on a business valuation. So all that stuff has to be nailed down so that you can have an intelligent conversation with an investor.
And those things are not easy to do. I'll tell you right from personal experience, you know, when you're doing I own a couple of companies and trying to figure out that equity portion is very difficult. And that's why I think, you know, having that objectivity that you guys bring to the table is key, because, you know, how do you answer those questions? They're not simple.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And we don't do forensic valuations. You know, like Miles, who is sponsoring this spot, I believe they do forensic business valuations. We don't do those.
Right.
We do more of a simple market valuation. And really, what it's designed, and by the way, it's based on the financial projections of a business that doesn't exist. So it's all...
theory.
it's all theory, right, exactly. It's based on research and facts, but at the end of the day, it's kind of a guess. It's just an educated one. But the purpose to it is to form a foundation for a negotiation. So the investor, all they have to negotiate with is emotion. So if you walk up to the investor and say, I want $100,000 and I'll give you 3% of my company, the investor is going to go, whoa, like, what? That's crazy. That's insane. I don't invest in anybody unless I take, you know, 40% of the company. And I'm not giving you $100,000 for 3%. That's, what are you, nuts?
Right.
Our entrepreneur would say, well, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. Look, this is just, the research just produced these assumptions. And this is what the financials came out to. And $100,000 equals 3% of the company. You know, I'm not trying to be rude.
Right.
This is what it is. And if you want to argue any of the underlying assumptions and financial projections that got to that number, we'll be glad to dig into that with you. But, you know, and what happens is the investor, they get flustered, right? Because in the negotiation, because they don't know the facts. So it really just, it sets it up so that the entrepreneur can get $100,000 for maybe 20% instead of 40%,
right?
It's just a foundation for the negotiation.
It's a great way of preparing them, though. But the key is preparation, period. I think if we can, you know, drill something home today for any entrepreneurs out there, again, whether you're thinking about starting a company or you're in business today, you know, all those things, you know, you just need to be prepared, especially if you're looking to grow your company. You got to constantly, and we go through this all the time, you got to constantly look at yourself, look at your company, And ask the honest questions. Ask the tough questions. You know, does this make sense? How do I get from here to there? And when it dictates it, hire somebody to come in and like yourself, Eric, bring somebody in outside of your industry as a consultant to take a hard look at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It makes all the difference in the world. Especially if you're looking to scale up your corporation. Like you just, when we were talking about in the very beginning of the show, at some point you realize, listen, I do need, if you want to grow this company, you know, I have a chance of, you know, hitting my goals and objectives, you know, I got to scale up. Well, how do you scale up? Right.
Yeah.
And actually, here's a better question. Should I scale up? Right.
that's a brilliant question.
Right.
It's funny. Scaling is one of the most difficult things. A lot of the consultants that we bring on to capacity are individual consultants who had a job and then they left to kind of work on their own. And maybe they took one client with them. Right. They end up failing as a business. The consultant.
Okay.
And it's just because they don't know how to scale. You know, they were really good at doing financial projections, or they were really good at doing, you know, whatever, marketing research for whatever industry they came from. So a lot of the consultants that come to capacity to work are guys that are brilliant. They just don't know how to scale. So we go, we'll scale you. Come on our boat. You know what I mean?
Right.
And because we know how to scale.
Well, you say those who can't teach, right?
So yeah, exactly.
It happens a lot. Listen, I want to thank you again for your time today, Eric. How do we go about finding you? If our listeners out there that could use your services, how can we go about getting a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, the website is kind of the easiest thing. It's Capacity Business Consulting.
Gotcha.
.com.
And I see also you do bookkeeping. I mean, you have scaled your company to say the very least here.
Yeah, the bookkeeping is a completely separate corporation, and I have a partner in that corporation. It was something that was just a natural spin-off. You know, a lot of our clients, when we're helping them build or we're helping them grow and they start, they're like, oh my God, I need somebody to do my books.
Yeah, that was a natural then, for sure.
Yeah, so it's not something I do every day. It's something that Rosa takes care of.
Okay.
but yeah, it's a great bookkeeping company, and we do offer that service separately for people. And one of the cool things about the bookkeeping company, real quick, is that if you hire us as your bookkeeper, you get a little bit of the consulting stuff for free, because we quarterly trend and analyze your financials on the bookkeeping company side.
Oh, wow.
And it's no more expensive than your general bookkeeper.
Well, that's key, by the way. That is key. Yeah, so it's not going out and hiring a full-blown accounting firm.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, and that's capacitybookkeeping.com.
Okay. That's a good piece of it. And especially for our listeners, your books are key. Just to be honest with you. You got to make sure those books are in line, they're correct. Because eventually, you know, you got to look at them harder, or make sure that somebody else wants to look at them. They got to be right.
Yeah, you have no idea how, I don't want to say most, I don't want to trash the industry, but sometimes bookkeepers just set up the chart of accounts, you know, all the expense categories and everything with what comes with QuickBooks, instead of tailoring it to the business so that the entrepreneur can actually manage their business by tracking the things that matter.
Yeah, we actually just had an experience with that, quite frankly, a little while ago with a client of ours who wanted to take the, I would call it, the least expensive way out and hire his own bookkeeper. And what a disaster. Disaster.
Yeah,
we had to actually go back in with our forensic guys and fix the problem. So, listen, the key, I think, that anything is, like, if we're going to drive anything home here, you know, folks, take the time to set yourself up properly. Make sure you do the plans, you do this feasibility study, you get the right bookkeeping set up, and in the formation, what company you're going to, what kind of corporate, if it's going to be an S-Corp, an LLC, all those things. You got to ask those questions up front. And Eric, thank you so much, because that's exactly what you do. You actually sit down and go, listen, how do you want this to look in the end?
Yeah, I mean, that's so important. With the bookkeeping, perfect example, we do cleanups for people that didn't do their books right in the first place or had an amateur do them.
Right.
And we have to come in and clean them up. And that costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, when if you hired us from the get-go, we might charge you $150 a month.
Right. Eric, thank you so much. That was key. Remember that. This is Jim Mazzetti, The American Dream. We'll see you next week from 10 to 2. Take care.